Unencumbered by political correctness, undeterred in her mission to spread the truth, unafraid to be a true conservative, she's unapologetic, uncompromising, unwavering, and an undeniably powerful voice when we need it most. This is Rose Unplugged.
This podcast episode is brought to you by MyPillow. Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell and MyPillow are launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that is made with a temperature regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you will ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and you know you do it. MyPillow 2.0, with its temperature regulating technology, 100% made in the USA, 10-year warranty, promo code ROSE, MyPillow.com, promo code ROSE, MyPillow 2.0. Amazing. Joining me today is the author of the new book, Tucker. It's a biography that is breaking the internet right now, but you've got to know him. I've seen him so many times, and I'm a big fan of his. His name is Chadwick Moore, and he's with us today to talk about his new book, Tucker. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing very well, too. Thank you so much. You know, here's the interesting thing. Tucker is so loved by so many people. I mean, they're still talking about him, talking about what he's doing right now with Twitter, and we'll get into all of that. But I think it's interesting that he has really touched the heart of true conservatives out there. Wouldn't you agree to that?
I would, and not even just, you know, what you call true conservatives, but really anyone who's just really kind of fed up with all the BS. I mean, a huge part of his audience was, well, firstly, he had the number one ratings, not only in all of cable news, and especially in the key demographic, but he had the number one ratings for 25 to 54-year-old Democrats in all of cable news.
Wow.
And, you know, a big part of his audience and fan base, and even people on his show were ex-liberals. And people who are just really fed up with the Democrat Party. So I think his appeal really runs the gamut.
You know, it really does. He has a unique way, too, with his delivery and when someone's talking. I think people just got a kick out of him. He had an entertainment value, but he also had content value. And I think that's what we all appreciated about him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he was so unique in all of cable news in his perspectives and the sort of stories he would cover. You know, even on networks like Fox, most news anchors would just look at the front page of the New York Times and see what they're talking about, and that set their agenda. Tucker always refused to do that. You know, he sort of decided that I'm going to decide what I want to talk about and what's important, and he would cover topics that no one else would touch, and it really worked for him, and it really made him stand out. It also made him dangerous, and it made him hated by both the establishment left and right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Now, you were given unprecedented access to his professional and his personal life. So that's what you reveal in this book, what you uncovered, what you actually witnessed firsthand. First of all, Chadwick, how did you get that access?
Well, so I was a regular on his show. And when my publisher reached out to me saying they wanted to do a book about Tucker Carlson, this was last year, last spring, I agreed. They said that he thought he was the most important and influential voice in the conservative movement, and he deserved a book. And I said, I agree. And they said, they asked me if I wanted to do it. So I just called up Tucker, and I said, told him the idea. And at first, this is very much him. He was like, oh, I don't read anything that's ever been written about me. I don't like that kind of attention. He said, I'm very uninteresting. And I think his exact line was, I quit drinking 20 years ago, and I've never cheated on my wife. So I'm not very interesting. And I said, well, I think the other people would disagree. And then he said, oh, well, I really like your writing. And he sort of was talking himself through it. And then he said, well, yeah, sure, let's do it. So ever since then, we were just off to the races. And anytime I wanted to hang out with him or come down and see him, he was completely open. Anytime I, you know, asked him for information or contacts, he was totally there for me.
You know, I find it interesting, Chadwick, that the timing of all of this, it couldn't have been better. When you look back and consider that if you had done it 2 years ago, it wouldn't have had the impact, because so many people now really want to know more about Tucker because of what happened at Fox News. So the timing of this is quite significant, I think.
It is pretty incredible. And now there is, you know, such a greater interest. Just know I mean, people miss him. People feel a hole in their evenings and in their lives even, because he was appointment viewing and people schedule their nights around his TV show. And he's sorely missed right now. You know, we had basically finished the book. I submitted my manuscript in March and we were just kind of going through everything. And then, of course, this news happened and we pushed back the publication date. And I got to interview Tucker twice since his show was taken off the air. And we added a couple new chapters and updated the book to make it relevant to what happened. But yeah, people are certainly, you know, I think that there was always an interest to kind of know a little more about him. I think people could tell that he wasn't your typical cable news host or even your typical, you know, political pundit. And, but now there's certainly people really feeling that need to, they need their Tucker fix, I guess.
They do. You know, and he would ask the questions that a lot of us would love to ask if we had the opportunity. It's not, he wasn't milquetoasty like a lot of the other talking heads. He would go deep, and it was exactly like I would watch because, oh my God, that's what I wanted to know about. That's exactly what I would have asked. So, and I think that is something that endeared him to his audience.
Yeah, he had a level of, you know, I think that a lot of in cable news don't understand now that it's not really about the news brand that people want or connect to. It's about the personality.
Yes.
And he really had a personal relationship with his audience. People felt like they were speaking directly to them through the television. And, you know, he was absolutely despised by the left and by Democrats, of course, but he was feared by the Republican establishment in a lot of ways. And, you know, there's a lot of people who wouldn't go on his show. And I think that is what made so many conservatives and free thinkers in America really respect him, because he never really kowtowed to power and he never kissed up to power.
You know, what I really liked about him, I only had minimal contact with him or any kind of engagement with him. There was a time, this was years ago, when he would sub for other hosts at Fox. And a couple of times I was on when he was hosting. And I remember saying to him the very first time, I'm so excited to be on with you. I'm crazy about you. I love, you know, your work. And he just laughed. You know, that's what I like about him as his person. He just laughed at that, you know, and, like, he really thought it was funny. And also I named my dog after him, Tucker the dog. Yeah. So those are the two connections.
Oh, that's great.
but there's a humility there too, or ability to actually laugh at himself, almost self-deprecating at times, but just the fine humor in himself. And I liked that about him.
There really is. And that's something I saw firsthand with him was the extent to which he tries to remain humble and kind of his rituals that he does to remind himself that he's not God, because a lot of people in television think they are God.
Yep.
And it came from an early age. His dad, Dick Carlson, told me a story. His dad was also on television. He was a news anchor.
Oh.
And, you know, he told me a story about taking the kids out to Denny's once when they were little. And some people came and asked for Dick's autograph, and they were sort of fawning over him. And Dick, you know, said to the kids, those people are very nice. They mean well, but they're not going to remember who I am in 2 years. You can't let this stuff go to your head. So Dick really instilled that in them from a young age, too, to remain humble. Yeah.
I like that story. You know, one of the things that you mentioned is the monologue. It was a planned monologue, and it would in that last monologue, AOC's demand that his show be pulled off the air. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. So this was the monologue that he had planned to read on air on April 24th, which is the day that this show is taken off the air. And he'd already written his monologue that morning for that night's show and sent it to his producers. And I happened to see that monologue, and a big part of it dealt with, just that weekend, AOC had gone on MSNBC and said basically his show should be taken off the air. And that kind of insinuated that he and his ilk should be arrested for misinformation.
Yes.
And that was the great dark irony, is that just the next day, that's what happened. His show was taken off the air.
If you had to guess why Fox News let someone who was so favored, had a number one rating for so many, you know, years, why would they have done something like that, in your opinion?
Theory that makes sense to me. Simply, Fox was trying to make an example out of Tucker and trying to put the fear of God into the entire, everyone else on the network, and showing who's boss and saying, we're going to get rid of our biggest guy, so everyone else better act right. Because, you know, Tucker didn't push those theories on his show about the Dominion voting systems being rigged. In fact, he pushed back against them quite strongly. Other people who are still on the air at Fox did push those theories. And people, you know, say to me who currently work at Fox, and lots of people who used to work at Fox, all say the same thing to me, that Fox management is just very dumb. And they don't understand the changing media market. They don't understand their own audience. And they sort of think that their brand is more powerful than any of their anchors because they've lost big names before. They are always fine. But I think that in this case, they failed to realize that Tucker Carlson had become a brand that was bigger, as big or bigger than their own. And I think that we're going into the second month now that he's been off the air, and Fox doesn't look good, doesn't look like they're recovering.
I wouldn't think they would. A lot of people were very upset by that. You know, we're going to talk about Tucker and Twitter in just a moment, but I did want to hear a little bit more about Tucker Carlson off camera that's in your book. Just, you know, what was there something that really stuck with you, something that surprised you as you followed him and shadowed him?
Well, he's hilarious, and as you can imagine. And he also is just an incredibly smart and thoughtful and kind person. You know, you can tell he never wants anyone in his presence to feel uncomfortable. He and his wife, Susie, both, they've been together since they were 15 years old.
Wow.
And, you know, I got to, you know, when you know, one of the times I was going down to Florida to you know, I asked, is there a hotel nearby? I should say, well, no, you're staying at the house, of course. And it's just for about a week. Aww. So, you know, that's how opening and welcoming they were. I think that, you know, he's not one of these people that can only talk about politics. You know, you sit down with him, as we did many times in his kitchen, first thing in the morning, and he would just riff about anything. And it was always so entertaining. And you know, there's so much I wanted to put in the book and, of course, couldn't put everything in, but it certainly all deserved to be there. So I think that the level at which he's, number one, just kind of a normal guy, and number two, is just so engaged with the world, and not just from a political angle, but he's very much full of life, and he loves nature, and he thinks about nature a lot, and God, and things of this.
Oh, I'm glad you brought up God, because one of the things, you know, that I would ponder when watching him, because he's been so courageous, because he was so unafraid to tackle some of the subjects that a lot of people won't, I often wondered, is it his faith that keeps him strong, that keeps him courageous?
Well, I think he truly does see the political situation in this country as one of good and evil. And, you know, I think he focuses a lot on that. And even if he doesn't he has talked directly about that before, but even if not, that's always sort of the subtext of what he's discussing. He's identifies as an Episcopalian because that's how he was raised, but he's the first one to point out that he thinks that the Episcopalian church is, you know, sort of barely Christian at this point. Right. So he's sort of theologically, you know, I think he's the first to admit he's not super theologically literate, but he believes in God and he believes in the Christian God, and he feels faith and spirituality. And I think he sees what's going on around us as a spiritual war in this country.
You know, when you talk about how he looks at everything from the perspective of good versus evil, and I think a lot of people do right now, what would you say that he's motivated by that, or are there other things that motivate him to do what he does and to keep going, and particularly now since he's reaching and stepping into other, you know, platforms? What would you say, beyond just looking at the world through good versus evil, but what else would you say motivates him?
Well, I think he gets so fired up, you know, like all people who are attracted to journalism, and like his father also, he gets fired up by corruption and being lied to, and by deception, and by you know, the powerful versus the weak. You know, I think that he really has a strong sense of that within him. You know, one of my favorite things, and his dad Dick definitely has this as well, is if you really want to get either one of them fired up, like really fired up, you just kind of talk about the nanny state, which is so funny. You know, if you talk about like seatbelt laws or things like that, because that little thing can just drive them both insane. And I have some funny stories in the book about that. But I think it's really that sense of, you know, I think the word justice has been perverted by the left and way overused, but there is something about a sense of justice to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, is there something in particular, Chadwick, when you look back, some of the things that you'll never forget after having spent this time with him?
Many things will stick with me together forever. And I think, you know, just to get a little personal, spending time with he and his wife really reminded me of what's important in life. And I'll forever be grateful for that. You know, what's important in life is, you know, dogs, love, and the stars. Those were the things that they love and that are really important to them. And it reminded me of those things. And I'm so grateful and will never forget it.
I like that. Right now, what's big on top of everyone's mind is that Fox News has asked him to cease and desist his Twitter platform. And, you know, it's interesting because it's not really a show. And I kind of thought it was very clever of Tucker to go to that platform because it's not a news show. It's not a network. It's just a platform, a social media platform, which I thought was clever. So do they have any kind of case against him for bringing what he's got to Twitter?
Well, so here's what's interesting about that. So I haven't seen his contract. I don't know exactly what it says. I was told from one of his producers that Twitter wasn't included in his non-compete, which Fox didn't have the foresight to ever see Twitter as competition. So two things about this, though. Yeah. So firstly, if he's just going to Twitter to express his political opinions of the day, well, on issues of the day, well, you know, everyone on Fox uses a Twitter account to do that. I guess the only difference is he's posting a video and not posting a tweet, but they're all using that the same service. Secondly, in Fox's cease and desist letter to Tucker, they said something about him rendering services, and that's a violation of his contract. Well, Tucker's not being paid by Elon Musk or Twitter. He's not making any money off these videos. So I don't think that legally constitutes as rendering services in the context of a contract like that. I guess the third thing that would be interesting about this is I'm not sure that Fox, well, first of all, Fox continues to shoot themselves in the foot by going after him because they're just losing more and more good faith in the public. And also, I don't think that Fox would legally want to go after him for this because then you might have to go to trial and have discovery. And in that discovery, they might have to be forced to admit why they really fired him. And I don't think that they want to – took his show off the air.
Oh, there you go.
And I don't think that they would really want that out there.
Well, then that begs the question, why bother at all? Because if you know Tucker at all – and actually, though, when you think about everything you've just told me about Fox News, I guess they wouldn't figure this out. But there's a possibility they couldn't figure it out. But knowing how you know Tucker and sending a cease and desist – and in the back of your mind, knowing that you're probably not going to pursue this legally, why even bother? Intimidation? Did they really think that Tucker would be intimidated by that?
This is the big question. And it's like the only answer that makes sense is the answer I keep getting from people is they are just that stupid, which sounds shocking to all of us who I think all of us now know that we're smarter than Fox management. But that's the answer I keep getting from everyone. Like, you can only make sense of it if you realize these people are completely stupid.
That's so funny. Now that the book is done and you got to know him on an even deeper level, what are your final thoughts? And why is it important that my audience purchase the book and get to know him a little more?
I think if you're just, you know, I'm someone who I love – I mean, the reason why I do what I do is because I'm interested in people. I'm interested in what motivates people and who they are and describing their worlds and their life. And that's what I hope to have done with Tucker. You know, I think that if you're just fascinated in other human beings, especially someone who is as prominent and as many would say important as he is, I think it's a really good look into who he is as a human being. I think it's wonderful to kind of know that, you know, if you're a fan of Tucker Carlson, that he's not this egomaniacal jerk who's, you know, harassing the women around the office or whatever a lot of people in television are up to, that he's really an interesting kind of deep guy and very literary. And that comes through in his work. I mean, that comes through in his monologues. So, you know, I think if you love him or hate him, I don't think there's anyone who's – there's been a lot of, you know, wannabe Tucker hit pieces that have been published about his origin story. I think that if you love him or hate him, you know – he obviously is an extremely important figure in this country. And I hope that I did him justice by trying to tell his story and put forth who he really is.
I have every confidence that you have, you know, and I appreciate that you pulled that curtain away to allow us to get a peek into the life of Tucker Carlson. He is so beloved by so many. I appreciate you, Chadwick, and the work that you do. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you very much.